as they continue to develop. As we are reminded in the Word, train up a child from when he is young, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So these occasions, as beautiful as they serve as such wonderful memories for us as we look into the future, and for these kids to be able to get the Word of God and the Word of the Gospel embellished in their hearts from an early age. So let's continue to remember them in prayer, that not just with the preparation for this evening's program, but then always that they are remembering what they have learned, and especially this season and this time that we are remembering the birth of our Savior, that they remember the true lesson for that. We're going to spend just a couple of minutes before we have a final congregational song, and then we'll have a time of fellowship and some refreshments here this evening. But I want to, as we spend a few minutes in the Word of God, there are two stories that I want to share with you this evening. One of them comes from about 60 years ago, where in the 1957 edition of Chess Magazine, yes, I know some here may subscribe to that magazine, and it's okay, you don't have to admit to it. But in the 1957 edition of Chess Magazine, there was an interesting story that was written about a game that was happening, a game of chess that was happening between two men. One of the men was a man by the name of Henry Jarvis, and the other one was a name of Eberhard Wilhelm, or Eberhard William, it's a German name, who was the secretary of the International Chess Correspondence Organization. Now, for those of you who are very young in the room, and for those of you who are much older, you will probably remember, this is what online gaming was before it was even today, where you would actually send notes via postal mail, and you would play games using that. Now, of course, it's changed, and it's all done digitally and electronically, but back in the mid-1900s, that was how they used to play games. So in the 1957 edition, they wrote the story about these two young men who were playing a game of chess. And it actually happened just before World War II. So this story actually took place about 15 years before that, where they were playing a game of chess, and Mr. Willem sent a note to Mr. Jarvis and said, here's what I'm going to play. And then it was Mr. Jarvis's turn to give his move. Where was he going to move a board on the chessboard to say, hey, this is where I'm going to go? But then World War II broke out. And what happened was that all of the postal services that were there all around the world stopped. And so this letter ended up getting held up for nearly 8 years. So after about 8 years, after the war had finished and postal services resumed, there was a note that Mr. Willem wrote to Mr. Jarvis, and it basically had three words in that letter, and it said, it's your move. He's been waiting for 8 years, it's your move. I want you to keep that story in mind. I want you to file that away, because the next story that I'm going to tell you is from a little bit further behind than 60 years ago. In fact, it's from almost 2,000 years ago, and if you've been listening to the stories that our children have been talking about, the young people in our Sunday school have been talking about, it's a story that happens a night, almost 2,000 years ago, and if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke and chapter 2. It's a very familiar portion, as you've heard even a lot of it, but I want to spend just a few moments reading this story from Luke chapter 2, a historical true story that's been recorded in the Bible for us. In Luke chapter 2, and you may see it come up on the screen, but I'll read and you can follow along. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 1, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. Now, God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. So these two stories, almost 2,000 years apart. The first story we heard about a move in a game of chess. It's now your move. And a story from 2,000 years ago of a Savior being born into the world. When we look at this portion in Luke that we read of this story that you have heard, what a wonderful privilege it was for this angel to announce the birth of the Savior. He was followed by a chorus of angels, and even you saw the little children here depicting what that would look like. And that indeed was the first Christmas morning that these shepherds heard the good news of the birth of Christ. Why was it good news? Why was this news good when these angels came and told these people that the Savior has been born? A couple of things that you read, if you had your Bibles and you looked in verse 10, and the angel said unto them, Fear not. Those first two words that come, fear not. Because these angels were so afraid. They were so afraid when they looked and they saw these angels that came from on high. Because remember, up to this point, if you look through the history that is here, for 400 years, heaven had remained silent. For 400 years, not a word had come. And first time that these words are uttered, when the heavens are opened, and they would come and they would say, Fear not. But even beyond even saying fear not, what do the angels say? They say those words, Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. The joy that comes is so huge when they talk about the Savior who is born. And then you see those words that it is for all people that they are bringing this news. And then importantly, this comes. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. When you read those words, for unto you is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, the question that oftentimes when I've read this, I've asked this question, save us from what? Save us from what? And in order to understand that, you have to go even further back in the Bible. And for those of you who know the story, you know this full well, that when you go all the way back in your Bible to the very first book in the Bible, in the book of the Genesis, we read the account of man who was created by God. And even in that portion, we read those words that man hardened his heart against God. Regardless of what God commanded him, he said, I want nothing to do with you. And with that, what God had created so beautifully in the perfect image of himself, where God was holy, God created man to be just like him. And in that moment, when God saw what man had done in disobeying him, man fell from that standard of perfection. And something happened. Man became sinners. Now, I know when you hear that word, when you hear that word sinner, that's a very harsh term. Because you and I, we may look at each other and we may say, I haven't done anything that bad that I should be considered a sinner. I haven't hurt anybody. I haven't stolen anything. I haven't said any lies, not today at least. And you say that, how can you say that I am a sinner? Well, my friend, in the Bible, it is not just me who is saying that you and I are sinners. It is the Word of God Himself who says those words. And you heard even today when one of our characters was quoting it in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Those words that say, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That word all includes everybody in this room. And it includes you. And it includes me. See, God longs for a relationship with you and me. We have a God in heaven who longs for a relationship with you and me. But because of what man did and fell from that place of perfection, a holy God, a God who is just, a God who is righteous, a God who is perfect, cannot have that relationship with a sinful man. But yet, because God loved us so much, He wants still to have this relationship with us. And left to our own efforts, left to what you and I can go do, we could never come back to that standard of perfection. We could never come back. Because the law of God, what God has spoken, is written in this word. And if you go a couple of chapters ahead of what you see there in Romans 3 and 23, and you come to Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, in the first part of that verse, it says, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. So then we ask the question, what could take that sin away? If God is longing for a relationship with us, if God is longing for a relationship with you, but because of that sin, we can't have that relationship. Because of that sin, we can't be close to God. What can take away that sin? And there you see in the second part of that verse that God did create a way. See, God being a holy God, He cannot change His law. He cannot change the law that says for the wages of sin is death. But because He loves you, because He loves you and me and wants us to have a relationship with Him, He created a way by which we could pay for that sin. And that's what you see there. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at that word, gift. In this season when we remember the birth of our Savior, and in all that you have seen, even over the course of this day, and as you go around the city, as you see the lights, as you see the different things that are there, we remember the Savior who has come. We remember the child who is born. But my friend, tonight, if you do not ask yourself the question, why was He born? Why was this child born into this world? Why was this gift given to you and to me? It is so that He could be offered as a payment for your sin and mine. It is so that our sins, that your sins and my sins could be paid for. So my friend, tonight, if you are sitting here this evening and you haven't accepted this gift that has been given to you and to me, and if you are uncertain that your sins are forgiven, and if you have a question about where you are going to spend eternity, then there's a choice for you to make this evening. See, everything that we have talked about tonight, everything that you have seen, what the children have done, the verses that have been said, the songs that have been sung, come down to this one thing. If you want to know why we have Christmas, if you want to know why we remember the birth of a Savior, the birth of a child who came into this world, we read these words in our Bible. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that, where someone would take your place? We said those words, for the wages of sin is death. But someone came and said, I don't want you to die. I am going to do it in your place. I am going to do it instead of you. Would you ever consider that? Would you ever consider giving up your life for someone? Maybe for somebody that you really, really like. Maybe for somebody that you care deeply for. But for somebody that you don't know, for somebody that would not return the favor for you, would you do that? But my friend, tonight, what the stories that you have heard, the history that you have heard, tells you of a God who was willing to do that for you. Of a God who was willing to do that for me. He sent you the gift of His Son. And that even if you don't know Him, even if you don't respect Him, even if you don't love Him back, God loves you. And that was the reason why He sent His Son to die. Today, my friend, the forgiveness of your sins, the price that was paid to forgive your sin and to forgive my sin, has been paid. Through the death of our Savior, this Lord Jesus Christ, who we've been talking about, who died on the cross of Calvary, because of that payment, today you and I have no penalty of sin. Because that baby who we've been remembering, who came into this world, grew up, and then 33 years later would grow into a man and go and die on a cross to take on the sin of the world, and most importantly, yours and mine. Because of that gift that came that Christmas morning, that is why we remember Him. That is why we remember Christ in Christmas. Those words that we read in Luke chapter 2, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Peace comes from knowing you are forgiven and that your eternity is secure. Peace comes from knowing that you have been forgiven of all of your sins and that your eternity is secure. I remember something that a friend of mine has told me, and it has haunted me all along. He asked me, how can you be so arrogant to think that you can live forever? How can you be so arrogant to think that you can live forever when you tell me about eternal life? My friend, tonight I can tell you this, that it is not because of what I say, but what is written in the holy word of God, The question is not whether eternity exists or not. That is a fact. The question, my friend, tonight is which eternity will you be a part of? Which eternity will you be a part of? See, when we talk about Christmas, when we talk about this time of joy, when we talk about this time, it is not an easy thing to talk about hell. It is never an easy thing to talk about the punishment that comes for those who do not accept the gift of our Savior. But this is true. For a God who is holy and for a God who longs for a relationship with you and me, when we accept this gift, we have our eternity secure with Him. And for those who reject it, it is clear in His Word that eternity is in a place called hell, far, far from God. The best definition of hell that I have ever heard is this: hell is God's eternal respect for the choices that you and I make in this world. Hell is God's eternal respect for the choices that you and I make in this world. And so I come back to that statement of that story that we heard first. You remember that story that I shared with you about that chess game? See, all through human history, man has been finding ways to go further and further away from God. Maybe even you have been trying to go further and further away from God. But my friend, there is a God who loves you desperately. There is a God who loves you so much that He is willing to chase you from end to end, from the highest to the lowest, and from the furthest place to come and to find you. And it is why God, on that night, 2,000 years ago of what we have been remembering, sent His only begotten Son into this world, to come into this world to grow and then to go to the cross, to die on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. Through all that God has done over 2,000 years, and perhaps even bringing you to this program here tonight, God is asking you and telling you this one thing. Tonight, my friend, it's your move. Tonight, it is your move. All that God has done in giving the gift of your Son, He has brought it to your hands. Now it is your move to know, are you going to accept Him? What will your response be? He has provided the gift, the way of salvation. And tonight all you have to do is accept it. All you have to do is accept the finished work on the cross of Calvary. Accept the fact that He has sent His Son to die on the cross to pay the penalty of your sin. And if you just accept that gift tonight, your eternity is secure. And if you accept that gift tonight, you can say together with the angels, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. God has given the gift of His Son, and tonight, my friend, it is your move. I hope these words will be an encouragement to you and to look closely in your heart about how certain you are about your future. And we pray that even in this season of Christmas, as you remember the gift that has come tonight, that you would accept it, that you would accept Him. We'll have one more song, so we'll invite the music team to come back up. We'll sing the song. We'll ask you to stand as we sing this final glorious hymn. And we will then offer a word of prayer, and then there is a time of refreshment that we would invite you all to participate in. So if the music team could come forward, we will sing this last hymn, and then we will be done.
Check 1, 2. Yeah, we'll force you to stand again. Please. I think we should also stand. This gift of eternal life. So we're going to sing the song, Angels We Have Heard on High, Sweetly Singing O'er the Plains and the Mountains.